Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A lot happens on Sundays, doesn't it? Two Sundays ago, we were reminded of our Lord as he passed into Jerusalem. We were reminded on that Palm Sunday about his triumphal entry on that donkey. And then we heard, as St. Matthew's Passion was read, about his arrest, his beating, his mock trials, and his crucifixion. Only 2 weeks ago, that was. And then we journeyed every day through that cross and to the empty tomb. Last Sunday was a day of great celebration for all of Christendom, for our Lord had trampled death under his feet. No more could it contain him, and no more can it contain you. A lot happens on a Sunday. When God set up his week, as he created it in the very beginning, as he set that week in motion, he created it evening and morning for 7 days. 6 days he created, and on that seventh day he rested, and he commanded that his followers would rest too. You might know this, but when you work 7 straight days without proper rest, it becomes too much. That's because God has not created you to work 7 straight days without any rest. He has created you to also rest, but to find your rest in him. To sanctify that holy day. God commanded, remember, the Sabbath day, or day of rest, to keep it holy. That is, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And as I've had a recent conversation with one of our members, God seems to take his commandments pretty seriously, and we should too. So why is it that our worship is not Friday sundown to Saturday sundown? Why is it that Christendom gathers not on the Sabbath day, but on Sunday? Was it because there were blue laws enacted in Rome where everything was closed on Sunday mornings to give Christians the privilege to worship? Not at all. Wasn't it great when Christendom was the law of the land, where you were actually encouraged by your government to spend a day of rest and to be able to worship without being frightful that you'd have to work all day on Sunday, except in those emergency professions? Yeah, that wasn't it. A lot happens on a Sunday. You heard of 2 Sundays in our gospel lesson for today. On a Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. On the new day, the day of the new week, which began once the sun set on that Saturday, the new day has begun. The new week has begun. All things are made new on that 8th day. Death was swallowed up in victory. Our Lord kept that last Sabbath rest for all people by his burial and his rest in that tomb. But once the sun set on the new day, our Lord, at some point, descended down into hell, body and soul, to proclaim victory over the devil. And as the women approached the tomb on that Easter day, he was no longer there. Death, the tomb could not contain him. And so, as we heard last week, the angel tells those women that he is risen, just as he has said. Now, if you only ever come on Easter Sunday, That's all the message you'd hear. That gospel lesson ends with the women saying nothing because they were frightened. It is important that we continue to gather Sunday after Sunday, because a lot happens on a Sunday. Our Lord appears to Mary Magdalene. Our Lord will appear to the ten, as we read. He goes behind those closed and locked doors, and he appears to these 10 men who had followed him. How much do you miss when you miss a Sunday? Just ask Thomas. Thomas was not gathered with them that morning, and Jesus appeared to them. He gave them his peace, a peace that surpasses the world's peace. He gave them the ability to forgive sins and to withhold it. He breathed his spirit upon them. Thomas, being told by the ten that they had in fact seen Jesus, refused to believe. I will not believe that he is actually risen. Even though the women have said it, even though you have said it, I will not believe until I see it for myself. At the same time, where was Thomas that next Sunday? Thomas was not out and about doing whatever his sports regimen was. Thomas was gathered that next Sunday, and Jesus appeared to them again. And he gives them a peace. They had locked the doors because they were afraid of what the Jews would do to them. They were afraid as they saw what they had done to their rabbi, to their teacher, to their Lord, to their God. But Jesus comes and he gives a peace, the same peace that he gives to you this Sunday morning. Our Lord appears to his disciples on that Easter Sunday and again the next Sunday. Our Lord gives them that peace and he eats with them. Our Lord breaks bread with the disciples who go to Emmaus. That is, he shares that fellowship of his supper with them on that Sunday. Our Lord has made all things new. He has finished that Sabbath day and given us now the Lord's day. We see the disciples gathering again on a Sunday in the book of Acts. We see how our Lord sends his Holy Spirit upon them on that Pentecost, a Sunday. How the Holy Spirit fills them and they preach beautiful messages of what Jesus Christ has done. How this Jesus, whom they crucified and whom we crucified because of our sins, this Jesus is no longer dead. He lives. And because he lives, we too can live. Our Lord pours out his Spirit upon his disciples and the people who gathered on that Sunday. The people would devote themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and to the prayers. They would devote themselves to the divine liturgy that has been handed down to us centuries after centuries. And they would continue to do that on a Sunday. In the book of Revelation, St. John writes about when he got this revelation. He says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is the day that we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. Why does Christendom gather together on Sunday morning? to remember that this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that our Lord has triumphed over sin, over death, over the grave, over all the things that face us that are contrary to Him. He gathers His church on this day. And so Christians continued to follow suit. We read in the Didache from the 1st to 2nd centuries concerning the Lord's Day. On the Lord's own day, gather together and break bread and give thanks. That is the Eucharist. The Eucharist is to give thanks. The breaking of bread is this Lord's Supper. For on the night in which our Lord was betrayed, He broke bread. He had given thanks. We remember His death every time we gather around His supper. We do this on the Lord's Day to remember that He has died for us, but He has also risen for us. Christendom would continue to gather on Sunday mornings because every Sunday now is a little Easter. That is why the Sundays in Lent are not called Sundays of Lent, but in Lent. That is why there is still a subdued joy on those Sundays, because Easter is still true. Because our Lord has conquered it for us. The church had historically fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays. Wednesdays, because our Lord was betrayed by Judas, agreeing to sell Him for those 30 pieces, and Fridays, because of His death. We are reminded of His lifeless body nailed to a tree. Every time we sin, we are reminded of what He had to do to save us from the wretchedness that is our sin. But with confession, with a repentant heart, we cry out for His mercy and know that He loves us so much that He grants us that forgiveness. He points to the cross on which our sin was paid in full. And then He points to the empty tomb to say the Father has accepted the price. A lot happens on a Sunday. And when we refuse to gather, when we neglect to gather, again, that can turn into months and years separating ourselves from the very lifeblood of the Bride of Christ. And yet He continues to call us back to Himself. He says, now is the time to return. Now is the time to take My word seriously, to look upon My Son and see what He has done for you and for your world. In our epistle lesson, we are reminded of the importance of this Christ and what He has done. We are reminded of the importance of being born again. And that rebirth happens through the water that was poured out from the side of Christ that fills the font. For if you have been baptized, you are an adopted child of God Almighty. He has called you His own. We are reminded of the blood that flowed from His side. The blood now fills the cup which we drink. That is His blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. He is the one who overcomes the world for you. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Fallen men would have you believe that there is no eternity. This is all there is. They would have you believe that this is what you are striving toward. But God says, there is more. I give you eternity. Fellowship with Me. The witness of God is greater. For the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed God's name. because he does not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son. This is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. No one can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord without the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit whom Jesus breathed upon his disciples, giving them the ability to forgive sins and to retain them. That same Spirit was poured upon you in your baptism. He gives you a better way. A way that leads not to eternal death, but to eternal life. God continues to put pastors in his church to hear confession and to pronounce to you his forgiveness. One not by me, but one by Christ. That you may hear the words that yes, you are a sinner, but a sinner that Jesus died for. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit because Christ has done it for you. You must confess that Jesus Christ is God, is King, is Lord to inherit eternal life. That flows from your heart, out your lips. The world should know that you are a Christian because it's something that you can't contain. Because your joy is so full. The church sings. Now the Queen of Seasons, bright with the day of splendor, with the royal feast of feasts, comes its joy to render, comes to gladden faithful hearts, which with true affection welcome in unwearied strain Jesus' resurrection. For today among his own Christ appeared bestowing his deep peace, which evermore passes human knowing. Neither could the gates of death, nor the tomb's dark portal, nor the watchers, nor the seal, hold him as a mortal. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.